Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, those between Unaffiliated 2, the next entry in our DC Heroes retrospective, or just DC retrospective, excuse me, because it's not just heroes, but also villains, especially in this film, which who is the hero and who is the villain?
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm Superman versus the Elite. I seem to remember when this one came out that it was all a buzz. I remember seeing a lot of people talking about it, not just Geekvolution, but seemingly people who didn't really talk about this stuff as much. So I'm just curious if you remember, was this one like a bigger hit than some of these DC animated stuff? Was it making...
Well, for me personally, I think it was overshadowed by Justice League Doom.
Oh, I remember that one too. It was getting a similar treatment. Yeah, the two of them.
Yeah, it was that one, and then later this year they put out Dark Knight Returns Part 1, and then in February, January, whenever in 2013 they put out Part 2.
Yeah, some of the few that I actually own on physical media. But had you seen this one prior?
They used clips of this in Goku versus Superman, just for background information, excuse me, not obviously for the fight, because that was all done by them. Which is, I highly recommend everybody go watch Death Battles or Screw Attack, formerly Screw Attacks, Goku versus Superman. I think both of them are well done. I think obviously the first one is well done. And yeah, I don't obviously want to show my like Superman bias, but hey, Goku like had a chance. that's for another day anyway.
Sure. Oh, but I guess let's jump into it. If everyone can get their copies to timestamp zero, we'll hit play in 3, 2, 1, play.
Legally or illegally, physical or digital, purchase copies of this. No bunny. No bunny. Not this time.
Are you seeing the Warner Brothers logo right now?
I see Warner Premiere.
Okay, good.
Time Warner Company. I don't know what that is because it's now Warner Brothers Discovery.
Yeah, because I'm watching this through the Teletoon channel, I had to skip ahead 4 seconds because it opened up with a Canadian rating. So
what is that rating, by the way?
It was like C4. I don't know what that means.
C4?
Yeah.
What the fudge? Oh, what the flip? Okay, I thought he was going to come back into effect.
But Dr. Light.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I know that guy.
He sexually assaulted, was it the Elongated Man's wife?
Yikes, that sounds like a pretty filthy dude.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll ever do Identity Crisis. We probably will, it is a DC story. So potentially we'll do that, but in terms of an opening, this is new.
Oh yeah, I think this is actually quite cool. I like all this. Little like montage.
Expanded almost. It's almost as if the same guy came back to write this stuff out.
Yes, we'll definitely get into some of that, but I will say when this popped up, I was not expecting this. We hadn't really seen anything like this in these DC animated movies. But this whole opening sequence I think is just great. Or opening credits.
It's like a fucking Adult Swim late night at, you know, 12 o'clock, like what the flip am I watching kind of stuff. Like Acid Animation or whatever the puck that's called. Like I don't know what that stuff's called, but I'm not talking like Aqua Teen Hunger Force. I'm talking like what comes on after Aqua Teen Hunger Force. It's like, what the flip is this even? Like, what is this?
Yeah, and they've got all this old footage. Some of this looks like it's Hanna-Barbera. Some of it looks like it's older. I'm not sure what some of this stuff is.
Why, sure, there's maybe some Super Friends, other Hanna-Barbera productions. It's like, not Grindhouse, I don't remember the term you'd call it, but this is pure like Rocky and Bullwinkle stuff.
Yeah, then this I love, the little fake animated show for Superman. I was like, okay, now you're selling me early on here. This is some cute stuff.
You have, this film has personality.
Yep. Yeah, which some of these have been lacking, that's for sure.
I know it's not enough, or at least just like not in our taste, but it's almost sounding like this may be in our taste and in our wheelhouse.
Oh, might be. I guess we'll see.
Oh, what the fuck? Okay, I just realized something.
Sure.
We'll get to it later on. I just, thank goodness I'm watching this again.
Superman Adventurer. Yeah, and Lois is rightfully like, okay.
Not the Adventures of Superman. Well, Caleb, what did you think of the animation?
Okay, that's what I was about to jump into. I will admit,
start off.
I mean, it certainly, you know, looks like they had to take some budget cuts. It definitely looks like they went to a more simplistic design. The motion, I mean, look at them walking. It feels much more simplistic. So maybe I can't say too much. Maybe they had no choice but to drop some of the quality, but it just looks a lot cheaper. What do you think?
I like it a lot.
Okay.
And maybe because it's different, but like, yeah, I'm a big fan of this animation style.
Yeah, and like I said, I was giving it some breaks because, yeah, it does feel like they maybe had to take some budget cuts, and there are some elements that I really like. It's just maybe the character designs, I think, are maybe some of the cheapest stuff, some of the most TV looking stuff.
Well, I think otherwise, I actually like the character designs of these. It's definitely more heightened and maybe cartoonish, but I actually like this a lot.
Yeah. Hey, I like to hear it, especially with this DC series with these movies. You've not liked a lot of them, so I'm happy to hear right up the front that you're liking some stuff.
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, maybe the more cartoony these things are, even though it can get a little bit, oh boy, what the hey. I'm just like, yo, let's, I don't know. I'm kind of digging these designs.
And I do like this guy, this Ghost Rider head guy.
I can't tell whether Atomic Skull came first or not, but in Bruce Timm's Justice League series, I don't know if he was in like Superman the Animated Series, he was green.
Yeah, and I did see his name on this, and I was surprised. I thought maybe he had left by this point, but looks like he was still working.
Yeah, his producer, of course, not like, you know, full-on writer or anything like that, but
yeah.
Definitely having a... actually, that was funny. When Skull landed, he actually looked a bit like he had some weight to him. I kind of like that.
Yep. No, there's some good physics, and yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I do think is quite well done with this animation-wise. Like, I think that the city looks great, actually. It's mainly just the character designs that I thought looked a little bit off, but that was a cool effect, too, destroying those cars.
The city does look good. I wish there was... Okay, yeah, no, shut up.
Yeah, it's much upgraded from something like the Justice League series, which, speaking of that, were you happy to see? I know I certainly was. Our old pal George Newbern back again as Supes.
Yeah, no, he returns once again, and... I don't know.
Not a fan?
I don't know. I feel like there was a few lines where I was like, I don't know if like that was like one, like if that was the only take they went with, or.
I'll admit I had the same thing. I think I was just blinded by some joy nostalgia. Just like, oh, wow, it's been so long since we've seen this guy in the role. I'm just happy to have him back. But yeah, he did have a couple, yeah, splotchy moments. I don't know if splotchy is the right word.
It is now.
I love the Atomic Skull in the water, though. I think that looked really cool.
Except for the fact that he just ruined that entire, like, you know, pond, lake, whatever.
Yeah, cough. He's complaining at the Elite later for collateral damage. Think about all the fish that just got incinerated.
And or just the biome, the ecosystem itself. But there was definitely a moment there where he's like, I want to put my fist through this guy's face.
Yeah, Joe Kelly returned to write this, and it feels like the Joe Kelly version of Superman is just a different character than what I'm used to for Superman. Like, this is a Superman that, if I could see Zack Snyder seeing a lot of familiarity with this guy, like, this is a guy who is a few steps closer to the edge than any other take of Superman I've ever seen.
Save for maybe, like, Injustice.
Yeah, and I haven't seen that, so yeah, maybe that's, or read that, so maybe that comes, or played that.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe that, yeah, is not in my experience, but yeah, no, it takes me a while. It took me a while in that book. I'm sure that came across the discussion there, and it takes me a while in this, too. This feels closer to the Superman I know, but even still, he has moments where I'm just like, wow, that's interesting. But for the Elite here, I do really like that we had some earlier stuff with them and the fact that we're getting more of them here up front and getting a chance to know who they are before Superman's enemies with them.
This is an expansion, like, of by the adaptation standards, especially helped by, as you just said, yeah, Jill Kelly's return. We get to live in this world for a bit, and that's definitely, like, I'm definitely pleased with that.
Yeah, and I like that this one, too, has this, like, underlying political element, not just in terms of the overall morality debate, but we have these warring countries that are, I guess, in a way, supposed to symbolize just the human experience in general, with all this escalating want for violence and want to see your enemies just punished as brutally as possible. And I like that they have that little texture in the background, a little backbone of the movie running through. I think that was some clever writing as well.
Yeah, no, we kind of had that in the book, or in the issue, excuse me. But in this, it's like all in the front there. It's used, as you're right, as a backdrop to talk about this like morality tale of whether Superman and our superheroes should just kill their enemies.
Yeah, and I think it's really cool that while Superman's giving this speech at the, I guess, like the UN, I don't know if they say it's the UN.
It is the UN.
Manchester Black is just up there listening to the speech, and we get to see his initial thoughts of Superman and his take on the world. Where it sees like a little bit charmed, but a little bit like he's almost amused too at the same time.
Yes, certainly. And he's like, I wonder if that UN actually is supposed to be like a shout out to the Hall of Justice.
That's interesting. I could see some of that. Yeah.
I wondered if it is, but here we have, here we have the, oh, wait a minute. I'm an idiot.
Oh,
I just realized something. Okay. So here we have Superman going to that one of these, like, you know, standing countries for, you know, real country, whatever it is. And boy, this is uncomfortable in like today, by today's standards, with given the current conflict we have over in Europe.
Yikes. Yeah.
10 years ago. But okay, we mucked up. I mucked up. So remember how, maybe I'm wrong in this, but remember how we were complaining that it wouldn't take Superman that long to get to
oh yes,
whatever country it was.
Yeah, Libya.
I'm so stupid. I failed to realize that there's something called time zones.
Well, I guess, yeah, no, I guess that, but yeah, no, I guess you're right. Yeah, no, I didn't think about that, but that's kind of screwy.
Fuck. Like, because I never thought of that, like in other books, like especially I remember in Tower of Babel when we're like in different multiple locations at once.
Mm-hmm.
I like, they never had a clock there as far as I'm aware. I'm an idiot.
That's what makes it a little bit scurry in the book, but yeah, no, I guess it does make sense.
Egg in my face. Egg in my face. Because it's either when he leaves Metropolis or wherever it is, New York, he leaves and it's like either midday, afternoon, whatever, and then he comes here, it's night. I'm like, fuck, that's what that was.
Yeah, I will say though, I appreciate that we get to actually see this initial fight with the Elite versus the kind of cybernetic beast. I do wish it was that monkey.
Yeah.
I the ape. I wish we would have seen that. This guy's kind of cool, but I think the ape just would have been more fun.
Oh, dude, it's DC and apes. Like, they go together very well.
Maybe Bruce Timm was like, I'm done with the apes. I've done enough apes at this point.
No more apes. And then, like, 2 years later or so, whenever it was. No, I guess the previous year the previous year they just rebooted or came out with that Planet of the Apes film.
Sorry,
Rise of the Apes. Sorry, not Planet of the Apes, Rise of the Apes.
And I like that Superman plays a role in this too, and we get kind of an early team up with him and the Elite before they are the Elite.
So it's so interesting how, yeah, this one in the issue, comic issue, Kelly makes them very mysterious and they're kind of already established almost, like they came out of nowhere. Here he builds them up. Like, good, like, very good job on that. That's a good adaptation.
Yeah, and it almost seems like their association with Superman maybe emboldens and cements their view of how to handle this stuff. It's not like, because when they came in the book, they're almost like immediately smug assholes were like, oh, Superman, you're so much further behind us. Like you live in a cartoon. It's almost like being next to this cartoon character is what made them realize, like, okay, you know, we don't need to play by these rules that are maybe our idol lives by. And he doesn't really live in the real world like the rest of us do.
Exactly. So, all right, here's my thing. I gotta also not cry foul, but I'll definitely cover my bases and be a little mea culpa-ish. And then correct myself. When we did the comic issue, I had mentioned at the end that this was the Elite were very much a stand-in and or a how to put this, but a riff on, say, the Authority.
Mm.
I failed to realize, and this is also thanks to Linkara, and I mean, I hope his sources are correct and valid. He was referring to the Authority written by Mark Millar, where they were poorly written, as opposed to when Garth Ennis wrote them, or sorry, Warren Ellis, not Garth Ennis, where Warren Ellis wrote them as being smart. Like they were written well by Warren Ellis, but poorly written by Mark Millar.
Oh, okay, interesting. I'd forgotten that Mark Millar was attached to them.
I also forgot that. so yeah, apologies on that. And whether it's true or not, I'm only going by what Linkara says, not putting the blame on him. I can see the problem you have here with, like, you know, how the designs look and up close, like they're not blinking and whatnot. They look very basic, but I don't mind. I don't know why. I'm okay with this.
Yeah, and I think part of it is the contrast is the backgrounds all do look a lot more polished than some of these movies look. Some of them we get these kind of, yeah, more basic character designs. It's almost like, oh, where were they putting their attention here?
Unless they're intentionally trying to look like, you know, 60s cartoons, but, you know, a little bit more life to them. Not life to them, but a little bit more polished to contrast with, like, the violence that goes on.
That could very well be. And even opening up with that little, you know, the kids' cartoons and then showing all those the images in the opening. That was kind of priming us for this is a more old school type of Superman. So that could be.
I kind of wish that she had goggles on. I don't know why. It's just like, yeah, the outfit works, but I wonder if she should wear like goggles.
I like when they cut back to England here. They make it very clear that this is not a good part of town. This is some industrial kind of dead end place. And this is where Manchester Black grew up.
Yeah, this is the middle to poor class region of this neighborhood.
Yeah, to the point that she looks like she's living in one of the few houses still not boarded up and closed down probably by the government.
That's a convenient taxi.
And Supes is there creeping around. He looks kind of funny with that one little hair. I like that they put that there. Every now and again, I see that in the comics, but I feel like it's not really in these movies as much.
Yeah, he had that in Dark Knight Returns, if I recall.
Oh, in the book? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, in the book.
Over-exaggerated, yeah, cartoony in the book.
I mean, that was Miller's design. But yeah, I've seen him have, what would you call that hairstyle?
Cowlick?
Is it a cowlick? I thought that was in the back. Oh, yeah, I guess it can be.
I'm not sure. I'm not someone who knows much about hairstyles or the names, so that's just my best guess.
But yes, we have Manchester Black here, and yeah, very very much, yeah, a departure where we're kind of building up the Elites as opposed to just, like, you know, all they're mysterious and they've taken the world by storm.
And spoilers, I prefer this Manchester Black. I prefer the character to have a little bit more dimension to him and a little bit more, because there's an element in that book where it felt like it was a little bit of a soapbox story where let's present two very extreme sides of the opinion and, you know, push them against each other. I like that this one feels a little bit more like it's a fully fleshed out kind of character rather than just an argument. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it's more, there's more of a story here to tell. Not that the other one wasn't a story, but
yeah,
it was different. Yeah. This background, that is a nice background of those cliffs.
Yeah.
Now I think this is PG-13. Darn, this is like a hard PG-13.
Yeah, I was definitely thinking that. Yeah, not just even the subject matter. Like we have like Hat, like he's out and out an alcoholic, and this group themselves are a fucked up group of people.
Coldcast seems to be the only one who's like level-headed, I guess. He can like, be bloodthirsty sometimes, but he's, I don't know, fairly like tame in comparison to them all.
Yeah, and maybe the flattest. I mean,
Potentially.
I can't remember her name. Menagerie? I
Menagerie.
think they call her Pam in this for some reason, which I thought was a.
Well, probably for like to humanize her. Her name's Pam, not just like, Menagerie.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of a cute touch. But I do think it's a shame that her almost her only character trait is that she's massively horny for Superman. In every scene that they have together, she's all over him, like, come on, you can get in my pants if you want.
Yeah, and I more than in the comic, but in this, yeah, she's just completely like sexually driven.
Yeah, and in the comic, there was something about their group that felt kind of like thrown together, and I didn't really get how they all interacted as like a gang. But this one, I feel like they flesh them out more and do make them feel more like a unit. And I could see these people all hanging out together, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I am not questioning, but more of was maybe I missed. I mean, I would listen to it, but I think did they mentioned how they all came together?
I don't think they did. I think Manchester, after getting out of the service, oh no, they say they all got teamed up together in the service.
So it almost was like, if they wanted to go further, I mean, maybe this is like too coincidental, but if they wanted to, this could be like another Suicide Squad or another like Task Force X.
Yep, no, that's what I was thinking.
Like, I could totally see. I'm not saying I want, Joe Kelly to do this because these are his creations, basically. But I definitely would be, I guess, to streamline it more. You could definitely see Amanda Waller having like a hand with these guys, or at least Argus themselves having like a hand in making these guys a team.
Yeah. By the way, I just wanted to highlight that little scene of their home life with their very miserable dad who treats them like trash and throws a bottle at his kid's head when he's like, I'm gonna go out. And he's like, ah, you barely deserve to live. Like that guy's a fucking asshole. And yeah, bad parents create, sometimes bad people. It's, be a good parent. Don't be a fuck up like that, dad.
It's why I refuse to be a parent, because I know I probably will neglect my children, and I don't know if I'd be a good dad.
It's a hard job. It's a hard job. I'm not a parent, but
Yeah, thankfully.
and don't want to be.
Oh, what the hell was I gonna say? Yeah, I lost it.
But yeah, I like getting this peek into Manchester Black's backstory a little bit more in depth, and yeah, I know I think that helps. And I also like that Manchester Black here looks more youthful. There was something about the comic one where I could picture the reason that he had his hair dyed purple is because he was trying to look more youthful. I could see if he didn't have that maybe he would have some grays in there. Like he looked like he could have been a late 40-year-old, maybe 50-year-old man. Here he looks like he's maybe in his early 30s. So I think that gives him more flexibility to change with Superman.
It also may be like a difference in art style.
That could be.
Would you, I remember what I was gonna say. Do you think this is by Canadian standards is like a 14A or a PG still?
I would think a PG, maybe because it's aimed at kids, they'd be more likely to up it a little bit, just to be like, okay, there is some subject matter here that you might not want to give this to your like 6-year-old, and the parents come in and suddenly there's a drunk dad throwing the bottle at his kid's head.
And the fact that they're show like they are not afraid to show Hat being a complete and utter like alcoholic.
Yeah, I would still think a PG, but yeah, maybe they would up it just for worries. But maybe I'll look it up. I'm actually curious now that you said that.
So as they're in London, there is a breach when it comes. There seems to be a terrorist attack. I kind of wish it was like a British supervillain, but instead it's just terrorists. Not every supervillain is a terrorist. Not every terrorist is a supervillain.
Yeah, and I mean, in terms of the War on Terror, this was a little bit later in the run, but definitely still in that period. And so all the focus on the terrorist stuff is still quite topical and, yeah, puts it in the time period that this came out.
I mean, I don't think they would have gone here, but if they wanted to, I guess they could just say it's the IRA.
Yeah, no, that might have actually been a good choice, considering how much we focus on kind of terrorists from the Middle East. Yeah, maybe. but I think they do a well enough job with what they do there. And not to mention the Middle East terrorists are from, you know, made up countries. So maybe they didn't want to get too in their face.
Well, it's like a combination between like Turkey, Russia, Ukraine, and like other nations.
Yeah, and just vague enough that you don't draw any exact comparisons to real life. So they're careful about that. But I do like that they get to also experience the kind of wonders of Superman. Watching his how impressive he can be, but also maybe seeing his weaknesses.
It's not only a, and this is what I like about it, is they're still like in awe of him. Like when they first saw him in that other country, they just like completely like teleported out. They're like, oh boy, like kind of taken aback by him. And the more the movie goes on, the more they kind of feel, you know, either as equals, superiors, or just like starting to see the real him.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it, when Superman joins up with them, it doesn't feel necessarily like a team up. It almost feels like an apprenticeship, like he's taking them under his wing. Be like, okay, you know, come along with me. We'll see how this hero thing, you know, is done, and you know, maybe try to give them some guidance. One of the first things he says is, "Oh, you guys could have gone a little easier on the collateral damage, but you know, some good work." So maybe some of that too, you know, kind of itches at them a little bit, like, okay, you know, stop trying to give us some tips here, because it seems like your ways are a little bit limited and we got some ideas of our own.
Darn it, I was really hoping Hat when he's picking those clovers, I was really hoping he picked a four leaf one.
That would have been nice.
But it was, looked like it was three leaf.
And Hat's cool in this, like, look at that thing, that's fucking cool. It's a little freeze.
Yeah, he's like him and Menagerie are like V from Devil May Cry 5, where they use summons, or just the summoner archetype, where they use summons in place of other like elemental powers or other types of superpowers. I know he's magic type, but he reminds me of Zatanna almost, albeit she isn't always often bring out summons. This movie kind of reminded me of Black Adam, but in reverse.
Okay. No, I could see some of that. Sure.
In place of the single being Black Adam is the one that's causing. See, that's another thing. I'd love to see like Black Adam and the Elite, if they would like agree with each other. Although Black Adam's, of course, a little, at least in that film, he's a little more with his country. He's only aligned with his country and how it operates, and or what he does in his country is what he leaves it to. But I feel like him and the Elite would probably get along very well, or maybe not. I don't know.
Oh, the Elite would love wiping out Intergang. They would just, make putty of them.
Oh, totally. But yeah, in place of Superman, we would have Black Adam, and in place of the Elite, we have the Justice Society of America.
Well, but I did want to point out, I think that scene there was the first major difference between them when Manchester Black, they captured some terrorists. Like, okay, let's do some interrogation. Let me just like squeeze their insides. And Superman's kind of horrified. He doesn't. I think it's too early on for him to like push them back and be like, "Hey, don't do that." But he's at least advising them, like, "Oh, maybe you shouldn't go this way." And afterwards, he's like, "Okay, that was a little bit much." But I think that's the first thing that sets the disquiet between the two groups.
Agreed. They may be close to be crossing the line.
Yeah, but I like the way that Superman played it. He didn't overstep himself, you know, knowing that he's kind of playing in their turf in a way.
Yeah, but he definitely was like, whoa, hang on a second. What's going on here?
Yeah, and then he has this nice kind of quiet scene with Lois as he's, yeah, the disquiet is settling in even more with him and their group.
All right, your opinion on Miss Lane, or I guess Miss Kent.
Yeah, no, I think that the actress that they chose to play her has a very distinct voice, and that voice, I could see it fitting for Lois, and I like her in this, I think. I'm not completely sold yet, but, you know, I think I like her quite a bit.
In place of Steel, who was in the Fortress of Solitude with Superman, Lois is his like voice of, she always usually is supposed to be his voice of reason, but she definitely takes a much more active role in the story.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's funny that they have the robots in this too. I like that.
Yeah, that is. I was like, yeah, hey, the Superman robots. Well, we'll get to see that. But, in place of President Luthor, we have well, I don't know if that was, well, actually, was that the United States president, or is that that one of the presidents from the other, like, warring nations?
I think that was the U.S. president, I think.
Okay. Well, it looked like a bigger version of, Nixon.
Yeah. And also this TV personality that we see later is like yelling, "We're the good guys. We're Americans. The elite would never come after us."
That was, yeah, I kind of like, we could probably tell who that's supposed to be modeled after.
Yeah, I can think of a couple folks. Goddamn. But I do like that. Yeah, once they finally like, okay, we're separating ourselves. Yeah, they make their big speech, and I like that they're almost like making their own little documentary of this. Like throughout, they've got these little drones flying with them, like they're YouTube personalities or something.
That was in the book, if you recall. They had somewhat like these camera drones following them around just to televise and to prove, like, you know, live stream these videos to show how, you know, to show and what is it to manipulate the audience into it being there. Have them be on their side, excuse me.
Yeah, maybe a commentary on how the media also shapes people.
Definitely.
Maybe they wouldn't like this. Maybe they wouldn't be for this if they just read about it, but to see the real personalities, maybe it can get them all caught up in the fervor.
Yeah, be completely like transparent of like, yeah, we're just showing you literally what we're doing.
Yeah, Natural Born Killers had a similar kind of commentary to it, but then we saw that little torture scene, and yeah, Menagerie was definitely combining the sexual with the torture there in a disturbing way.
Pulling some moves and or pulling some ideas out of Star Trek II.
Yep, absolutely. And I like the look of the robots in this one. I think they're fun. Maybe not as fun as an All-Star Superman, but I still like them here.
Differently designed. Yeah, I don't mind. I think I do prefer the ones from All-Star Superman, but it's just a minor nitpick.
I like the capes.
That is a nice touch. Although, I believe the robots in All-Star Superman also had capes.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, for All-Star. Do they have capes here in this one? I didn't think they did.
Well, I don't know. There weren't any robots, as far as I'm aware, in the issue.
No.
I also forgot, but forget myself. Forget what I said in the past. Yeah, I forgot that Amanda Waller was in the issue. This is based off of, but she was not, you know, affiliated with the Elite. But I definitely, looking at it now, it's like, yeah, I could definitely connect the pieces together of like, if somebody were to do another story with the Elite, that she could be involved with them, potentially.
And here we have any Fox News host. Just,
Caleb, what are you saying?
Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly.
What are you saying?
Or Rush Limbaugh. Well, I guess he wasn't a Fox News host, but same kind of guy. Just, Yeah, America's the best. Everyone else is a bunch of fuck ups, and anything is good that's taking on our enemies.
So in place of Japan and or Tokyo, we instead go to these nations, which I think definitely helps and streamlines the story more to keep it focused on this issue at hand.
Yeah. Yeah, and probably helps them with the animation too. They can make some things a little bit more basic looking.
Yeah, they don't. It's not to say that, sure, you may lose like it happening all over the world, but at the same time, yeah, no, I guess you are right that it should remain kind of streamlined and focused on one issue at hand rather than like all these nations around the earth.
American scum.
Hey, at least these, like, you know, riot gear, whatever, SWAT soldiers have a better look than the ones in the DCAU, personally speaking.
Yeah, and I do like that when they just pick up one. It was almost like bloodbending, except he was in the air.
And, well, it's just telekinesis. It's not full-on Tetsuo, but it could go there.
Yeah, just the look of him all, like, his body, like, yeah, being out of control. And I think that even though this stuff is definitely less intricate than the art in the comic, of course it has to be, I still think that they make these powers visually interesting.
Yeah, for I gotta be careful how I say this, but I definitely liked Menagerie's suit in the comic.
Oh yeah.
But it was mostly because it was like it was like an individual piece, like each alien, those sim beasts were like all connected to each other and made the suit, whereas this one's just like not a flat design, but it's just wearing like certain aspects of it, and then like from the skin or whatever, from the clothing itself, come these like, you know, little sim beasts or aliens that like she has. They don't call them sim beasts here, but I'm just assuming that, right? Like you can see in the comic, it was like each and every single like individual one. And even there was a bit right there where it's just like you have like a piece of him on you. It's like, ew.
Yeah. And I think Hat stands out a lot more in this. I like it. He just put it on the ground, and when he lifted it up, all these like demon looking things came and attacked the guys.
Huh.
I think he's got a nice flair to him, even though he doesn't really talk much.
Yeah, no, I like how they've personalized all of them a little bit more. They've given more like characters to them, excuse me, which is definitely needed. And I think also helps Kelly because he can at least, yeah, he has a little bit more time to spend with these guys.
Yeah, because in the comic, the issue, Manchester Black was really the only one that had much, he was the one that felt like he was drawn. All the rest of them are just kind of stand-ins for the most part.
Agreed.
And it feels, you know, they don't get a ton here, but, and especially Coldcast, I feel like is the one that gets maybe the least. But they do a little bit more to make them stand out and feel interesting in their own right.
So if somebody were to adapt this to the screen, honestly, like, yeah, you don't need to take away much. Like, you don't need to take out much. You just add, there's a few things more you could add, and you basically have yourself like, you know, a almost near adaptation to this.
Oh, like, you mean if they did it in live action?
I mean, I don't know if I know the Elite's supposed to be in James Gunn's DC era. Like, one of the movies is supposed to be the Authority. And I think the Elite may be involved in that. I could be wrong on that. But yeah, they're supposed to be, or maybe it's just Manchester Black's that's going to be a part of the Authority. But no, yeah. So I definitely see like this being adapted live. I don't know if Supergirl used any of these characters at all. Wouldn't be surprised.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think about it, if they were in the Arrowverse. Yeah, if only Jason was around, he would tell us. I'm sure he knows.
He definitely would. Or if we were on the Devolution Discord, we could just go ask, like, hey, was the Elite ever in like one of the CW shows? Most likely Supergirl.
Yeah, and Hat, every time they have a victory, he gets just so drunk that he ends up throwing up. Oh boy, this guy needs to learn how to handle his booze.
I feel like this is a commentary on something, but maybe I'm just like looking too much into it.
And I think Bonnie, their ship, I think it's quite well realized in this. I liked it quite a bit in the comic, and I like it quite a bit here as well.
Forgive me if I crashed. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we saw a full-on like shot of what Bunny looked like. Like we saw some of what Bunny was doing, or we saw some like parts of Bunny, but we didn't see like the whole thing. Like she was only like in this, we see a full-on, what do you call it? We do see a full-on.
Like exterior
view? Shot. Yeah, exterior shot, thank you, of her.
Yeah, I think we mainly only got interior in the book. I think I said Bonnie, but yeah, Bunny, thank you.
And goodbye. Well, at least except at Star City, which I always thought it was in Smallville. Or not Smallville, I thought it was in whatever it's called. Metropolis, but...
Oh, wait. Maybe it is Bonnie. Maybe my subtitles are wrong. I don't know.
Well,
now I can't remember.
It, you know, at least for when I watched this and in the comic, they said Bunny because it hops between dimensions.
Yeah, weird. Yeah, maybe the subtitles screw me up. But I like that we get a little bit more with Lois too. You know, I always like that character, and some of these movies haven't necessarily served her the best. Maybe I'm just thinking of what was that first one? Or second one?
Doomsday? Or, no, sorry, there's Brainiac Attacks, and then there's Doomsday.
Yeah, maybe it's Brainiac Attacks. I don't know, I can't remember anymore. But still, it's nice to see more of her in this. Maybe I'm just seeing the performances, honestly. We haven't had some of these movies. It's been a little bit weaker with the performances we've gotten for Lois.
What is that, Captain Marvel? And I mean the Marvel version of Captain Marvel, don't worry.
She looks like something out of 90s comics, like a John Byrne female character.
Yeah, I could see that. I guess I should also, I didn't like, you know, state my opinion, but yeah, I love this Lois Lane design and her voice. I think it's distinctive and both in voice and design. And I think she gets enough to do here. I think there's enough for her to do in this, which is... Yeah, pretty good in this case.
Yeah, and she's doing what Lois would do. I mean, she can't be involved in the action, so around the outside of it, she's doing the investigating and trying to, yeah, find her own way to expose Manchester Black.
And I can, yeah, appreciate that, and as opposed to any other of her stand-ins that, you know, try to, I guess, do the same thing as her.
Yeah, and sometimes, at least in a couple of these, she's mainly been there to be the girlfriend and maybe the damsel. So, yeah, it's nice to see when that's a little bit more proactive.
Yeah.
And then this scene here, they recreate almost exactly from the book, which is nice.
Except they added Ma Kent in this. I wish she was sitting there and gave some advice as well. But no, this was between father and son.
Yeah, I agree. It was nice just to see her. Yeah, maybe a couple lines might have been nice, but... Yeah, I like this scene in the book. I like this scene here too. I think the shading as well is quite similar, and yeah, nice to see that little bit of recreation.
And of course they make the whatever that joke is and themes and symbols and whatever it is of like what is it? Something something in apple pie.
Oh, I can't remember.
Okay, yeah, was it like Girl Next Door, Apple Pie, America? No, I don't fucking remember.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember it, but yeah, I can't quite get there.
Darn it, now I want apple pie.
Yeah, I'm starved. I could use some apple pie right now.
Dude, maybe I'll go to White Spot later and get like a blueberry pie.
But it's nice that Jonathan's alive in this as well. Usually I think of him as being dead by this point in the Superman.
You know who's not alive? Those people.
Oops. Yeah. Turn to dust, or yeah, I guess radioactive dust, maybe.
Pretty much just like the like he accelerated their bodies to, yeah, turn to ash.
Yeah, this guy's a fucker. This is a guy you don't want around.
He's yoked, roided, and juiced, like, and everything else in between. And I do actually like the addition of Atomic Skull kind of being the thing that tests the Elite almost to, I guess, see if they can, like, you know, take on these terrorists or these supervillains, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, and I think it helps too that it's a villain that the public knows that Superman captured and, you know, put into prison, And oh, here we go. Here's the problem with the Superman model, because he's back out again and he's killing people. I mean, look at this. Look at this fuck up on Superman's part.
I mean, maybe I shouldn't be saying this, but as, like, I don't know, the level-headed person, Superman take all the blame for this? I mean, why hasn't the state or, you know, the rest of society done something about this?
Well, maybe with someone like with this guy, maybe he would always get out. You can only hold him for so long. He's too powerful to imprison.
So does that, like, but even still, does that come down to Superman's decision to do that? Or do the society themselves have to, like, agree for Superman to do that?
Oh, in terms of killing him, you mean?
Yes. Excuse me.
Well, that's kind of the thing, that they idolize that these are the people who are going to take the decision out of our hands. They're going to do the stuff that we want to do, but maybe, you know, morally speaking, we shouldn't do. But they're above us, and they're willing to do what we can't. And Superman before was kind of holding the line of, you know, I'll do my best to protect you, but I'm also standing up as your moral arbiter. And now this is a point in time when people don't want that. They want people to take the decision away from them and just, you know, do the brutality that they think is necessary.
I see. Okay. So he's taking it upon himself to be, as you said, yeah, the arbiter. So it basically is a culture of dependency, eh?
Oh, yes. I think that has a lot to do with the war on terror, too. People fueled by the...
Aha, okay.
Yeah, the fear. And maybe they themselves wouldn't be out there, you know, wanting to gun down these terrorists. But, yeah, they want their government to make the decision for them and, yeah, protect them in any means necessary.
Oh, and it can be even worse if this was, like, the Atomic Skull was, like, a part of, a mistake on created by the system, almost. The same American system that has, you know, placed Superman in charge of being judge, jury, and executioner. The system of dependency.
Yeah, if maybe we found out that the Atomic Skull was either an experiment by the government or perhaps a CIA-trained operative. Like maybe a certain famous terrorist.
Oh, boy. Definitely changes some things, but yeah, we just expanded it where it can, like, you know, you can do even more with it. And if you were to do in live action, hey, it's still, like, great here. I'm just saying, like, wow, you're getting a lot more implementations here and ugliness.
Yeah. And Superman even has to team up with him. Atomic Skull is such a badass. He's like, okay, can you guys, even though he has his doubts about them, he still wants that help to try to mitigate the damage.
Oh, yeah. He's super Atomic Skull by this point. That was a good one take. That was like, yeah, this. Yeah. Even though I'm usually opposed to Superman, you know, fighting with inside a, you know, cityscape for obvious reasons of collateral damage. This is a real, really well, like, designed and realized fight.
Yeah, I love the glowy look of the animation. I think all that looks really cool. And Atomic Skulls always look good throughout this, so.
Yeah, it's okay for Godzilla to destroy things. Again, let's make it clear. Godzilla, it's okay for Godzilla to, you know, destroy all the city, because that's the point. He is nature's destruction. He is the atomic blast. Superman is an alien immigrant. He does not represent the nuclear bomb.
Yeah, and Superman is more powerful than Godzilla, too. And he can mitigate that disaster. And plus, Godzilla's not a hero, usually. Or at least what I think of is... No, you know, most of the time he isn't a hero. He's just kind of nominally helping the humans, but not really out of his own will. It's just kind of by luck.
In the tradition of D&D logic and our 3.5 system, he would be chaotic neutral.
Yeah.
Meaning he's neither good nor evil. He is just chaotic and in that neutral category.
Yeah. Whereas Gamera is a real, you know, he's a protector of all the children in the world. So he's out there actively trying to help them. Godzilla is just doing his own thing, and he usually hates the other monsters. So that helps.
Yeah, I didn't get this, where this is just basically like mob mentality right now, where everybody's just siding with, yeah, that's really good. Yeah, now that you mentioned that, it's like, oh, yeah, I get it. Like, everybody's turned on him.
Yeah. they become they've been driven by fear to the point of being, thirsty for blood of the people that they feel their enemies. A radicalized public. Yeah, that's not great.
I wonder how the scene ends. That's a nice touch. Even if the atomic skull can, suck it. At least props for Superman putting his cape over the body. Especially if, people saw that and were like, oh, decapitation.
Yeah, but they were looking at it and loving it. They were like, this is what we want to see. The people that we hate, we want to see them, destroyed. And Lois, too, is disgusted. I was thinking of Padme there. Like, this is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause.
This is how democracy dies, with thunderous applause.
There you go. Yeah, we cut to more political talking heads. This feels like some Frank Miller stuff. This would be in his books. Lining up the corners of the frame, just all these little heads.
Yeah, and same thing with news articles. Yeah, so time goes by in a way, more than it did in the comic, I feel.
Yeah, that is nice. It does feel like, maybe this is a couple months, and now Manchester Black is like a celebrity in his own right.
I could almost see this being like an Incredibles plot.
Yeah, perhaps, yeah.
And what I mean by that is, so the superheroes have been, they can, be superheroes again. The Registration Act has been null and void, is no longer in service. I can almost see, maybe this is too easy, but I can almost, also I like this bit where we just, we're inside the Fortress of Solitude and we see the robots and we see the Bottle City of Kandor.
I love that.
And we just see him sitting on that throne or whatever. It's I just that's a quiet moment. I like that.
I think the city looked really cool there too.
Yeah, differently designed. Again, I do like that.
And all the little ships and stuff flowing around. It really looked like it had a lively city.
But this Incredibles 3 plot, it would be the superheroes are back. They do their thing. And then turns out there's a superhero who has resentment against all the people for what they did to them. So they basically become the elite, or they start turning on humans and start, or the people, and start killing them. It's like, ooh, I don't know. Maybe that's a little too simple and basic.
I mean, they're usually pretty thoughtful with the Incredibles writers. So maybe they could bring out something a little bit. Yeah.
We'll talk about two at some point.
Yeah, but I like that Lois is, she's done her investigating. She's got a good story.
Yep.
But British intelligence is shutting it down. They're protecting him, even though he's fueling this. Yeah, this really dark side of humanity. He's inspiring it. They're still we don't want it to look bad, so we're gonna just let that train keep rolling on.
You know what it is? It's like in Mission Impossible, either Rogue Nation or Fallout, where, Elsa, I believe, the British MI6 or MI5 agent, is either being burnt or she's stuck contracted with them to keep that, it's either Simon character, or whatever his name is, the terrorist, alive. Because the British government does not want them to be kind of revealed as being like their creation.
Yeah, maybe the British government have a history of being big assholes. Who knows?
Yeah, no comment. It is interesting that they didn't do it with the American government instead, but I guess the American government has plenty of options in DC history.
Yeah, reference that potential CIA trained terrorist that I mentioned earlier. Everyone looked that up.
Shush. And I once again forgot my train of thought.
Oh, CGI ships.
Yeah, it's obvious at this point. Yeah, bring something new to the table. Sorry.
Hey, I think they worked okay. I didn't think they looked too bad.
All right, so here's normal everyday civilian life, even though they're potentially near a war zone. Yeah, this screams too much like Ukraine right now. Fuck.
Why isn't there a terrorist hanging off one of those missiles that he's going to fire off? And it'll still fly straight.
Yeehaw. Let's go.
And where's someone's daughter hanging off the front, too? Cough, cough, True Lies, if anyone doesn't get what we're talking about.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Dr. Strangelove for a second.
Oh, no. I guess that is someone else hanging off a bomb.
That's what I was thinking too immediately. But yeah, I guess there is fucking... Those were Harrier jets, as Eric pointed out.
Oh, there you go.
It's also because I actually conveniently listened to that one again last night.
Oh, nice. There you go. That was a good one. Really good one, I think.
Whoa. He is indiscriminately and like tactfully taking all these guys out with minimal damage.
Yeah. No, this is a badass scene for him. Another good, like, one take type of piece.
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, Sure, one would also, like, point out, you just destroyed the defense force of these guys. Yes, he destroyed the defense force of them shooting, like, civilians.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, one defense force is gone, and... They now could easily be, you know, like invaded, but like still.
Yeah, he'd be there to protect either side. That is kind of a bit controversial for Superman here. I mean, perhaps the two nations have not, you know, legally declared war against each other, and that's why he's stepping in and deciding this stuff. But is he going to step in if two nations do just declare war? Is he going to be like, not on my watch?
That's the thing. So first off, TIE fighter cameras. Again, what is it like that? Are they look like TIE interceptors again? TIE advance, excuse me, not TIE fighters, but yeah, they look like Vader's TIE advanced. And by the way, we just saw he pulled out a net. I'm like, oh, that's what that's supposed to be, because it's the net from the cartoon.
Yeah.
I was like, why did he pull out a net? And then I saw this again at the beginning. I was like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And I remember what I was also going to say. So I got to go back and read the book again, because I didn't realize this until now, but Manchester Black, he's got the Union Jack either as a tattoo or like painted on his chest. And I didn't realize that.
I think it was meant to be a shirt in the book, but yeah, I think in this one it is just a tattoo.
Because I just saw his nipples,
yeah,
and I can see like his muscle line.
Yeah, and the fact that he has a tattooed on, I think that's really interesting. Like, that's a crazy tattoo.
Yeah, maybe it's a tattoo. Like, wow. I mean, yeah, there's parts where he's like, it probably gets water on him, so it's like, yeah, it definitely wouldn't come off. But like, that is quite the tattoo.
Yeah, I think there's something delightfully ironic about an ex-British, you know, I mean, he had a really rough time there. He doesn't seem to have any sort of, you know, joy for his country, and he would get that tattooed on himself. So like an always reminder of where he came from. I think that would serve well for his kind of mentality on the world.
Like every morning he looks in the mirror and he sees the Union Jack. And so it gives him reason to, you know, keep going.
Yeah, it gives him a reason to, this is what I'm fighting against. One, my government, and two, my drunk dad that, you know, beat us as kids and treated us like trash and scraping by in a world that had no interest in us. Yeah, yikes.
I mean, maybe I'm incorrect in this, but at least Vera looks like she turned out all right. Sort of.
She's
I don't know everything, but
I mean, she still looks like she's living the life of a spook, you know, maybe.
Definitely.
You know, that's not a great life, I would think, either.
But... probably not. Quite angry to me. But this scene also, again, a lot of lines, thankfully, are, you know, come off straight from the page. Context is a little bit different, but same thing, where instead of inside a bedroom, maybe they couldn't couldn't show that part, but it's not like they were naked or anything like that. But
yeah.
And instead it's on the couch. But hey, it's still like the speech and the intent is still there, which is nice.
Yeah, by the way, I like Clark's frames, the giant circle frames. I always like when Superman has that look.
Yeah.
Something about that feels old school.
As opposed to the specs that Reeve wears.
Yeah. And I think Henry Cavill had the same, and probably the guy whose name I always forget.
Brandon Routh.
Thank you. I can never remember his name.
fair enough. It's weird because I often forget Henry Cavill.
Yeah, if you're, I mean, he's been in the news so much lately.
I keep getting so many, like, maybe it's just because of me. I don't know, like, maybe it's my stinking, like, you know, whatever I looked at. Now the internet, or now the internets, or all the websites are aligning with what I, in the algorithm, are like, oh yeah, picking up what I like. I keep seeing him as, like, getting Witcher news about him. I was like, I don't care. I don't watch The Witcher.
Yep, I don't care either. I see it all the time.
So odd. I'm so, like, kind of befuddled by it. It's just like, all right, whatever. Anyway, it'll come later on. But yeah, that was a good shot of Bunny. I definitely enjoyed that. And yeah, not what I was expecting fully, but it's just like, yeah, I guess it is a bacterial colony.
Yeah, and the big confrontation. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm just happy that they did go to another planet. Although instead of one of Jupiter's moons, Saturn's moons, they instead go to the moon itself.
Yep, so you can see the big blue and green marble just off to the corner.
A small, insignificant planet has now been destroyed, or whatever.
There you go. Yeah, beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Holy smokes, Lucky Whiskey. You would not see this kind of stuff now.
Oh, I think you're a little bit ahead of me. Damn.
Oh, really? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I thought that a couple of times, but I didn't say anything. But yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I figured out that. By the way, I'll just say this now. Coldcast's uniform looks a lot more tame than in the comic.
And I'm glad. There was a smidge of the slavery type imagery there. That just, it rubbed me just slightly the wrong way. There was a number of things in that book that just rubbed me just slightly the wrong way. And so I'm glad they played down some of that. They also removed the Manchester Black. You know, I'm 1/5 Black, I'm 1/5 Asian, or 1/15, you know.
Yeah, this is definitely, like, deserves its rating. Like,
yeah,
I kind of want to see this again, and this definitely feels mature for its for its content.
Yeah, I can see why they singled out that story and brought out one of these animations, and I could see it being worthy of a live action film. I think they could really get some interesting depth out of it with a more expanded plot, and people would take it more seriously if it wasn't animated, I think, as well.
Or heck, like, you know, my dream would be, like, you know, Puck, give me into and or across the Spider-Verse levels of animation for this.
Yeah.
I think that would also do itself really well.
Yeah. No, I could agree there. I do think if they, you know, push the rating a little bit higher up too, I think it could also deepen the impact. Like, this is good for what it is. I think that they're pushing, you know, pretty well for the rating that they're at, but even a light R might do this story justice.
Oh, this is definitely, like, worthy of a light R.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much further you would have to go.
Yeah, I think maybe some of the complexities with the terrorists and the violence. Like, they did a good job here with some of the more violent scenes, even pushing maybe the PG rating or the PG-13, I'm not sure, for this, with some of the sexual element with Menagerie. But yeah, I just feel like yeah, you could make that stuff harder.
I just noticed that the hat brought out some sunglasses.
Yeah.
That's a very neat touch.
Oh, he's fun. He's a fun character in the background.
Yeah, and thankfully not at all, like, potentially a racist stereotype.
Yeah. Oh, did they nuke the moon?
They better not have done what Dr. Eggman did to the moon in Sonic Adventure 2. Yes.
And I will admit, I don't know how much I went to this in the book, but there was an element to this climax where I don't really know what the goal of it is, and there's a part of it that makes me just uncomfortable as a Superman reader and viewer with him. Yeah, it's like he's showing that this type of person, like, okay, yeah, like, you want to get nuts, this is where you want to go. There's no one more powerful than me if you really get down to it, of my resources, my mind, my physical abilities. If that's the extreme you want to go, I can always go further. And it's almost like, you know, don't go in this direction or I'll fuck you up. And it's not just a message to Manchester Black, it's a message to the people that he protects. There's something about that just feels a bit dark for Superman. I just don't know how well it fits with his character.
Can I also say that the fact that dart had like a Superman logo on there is even more hilarious?
Oh, I love it. That's some Batman 66 stuff right there. I love that.
Pretty much is. He's showing this culture of dependency. He's pointing a gun at their head, almost saying, like, if you muck up, this is what I could be. Don't.
And maybe I'm having some similar issues like I had with the Abyss, where the aliens were like, okay, you know, if you don't solve this Cold War, we're just going to blow you all the fuck up. There's something about that just rings true as a piece of commentary of, like, I'm so much more powerful than what humans actually are, and don't go to your darkest ways or I'll correct you, you know, through violence. And of course, Superman would, I mean, they use the cover of being like, he would never actually do that. This was all just an illusion. But I don't know. There's something, especially in terms of the media coverage. Maybe some folks got too spooked to even get to the end to see that it was an illusion. Or just like, oh God, Superman's like a bloodthirsty monster. So I don't know. It does feel like it's stepping too close to the line for what I usually think of as Superman's character.
Like, the ending itself seems more like an illusion and or an Elseworlds story.
But that's fair.
Although this part here where they're like, you know, he's not going to attack the sheep. That's a great line.
Yep. It's showing their true colors to them. And again, they're being recorded too, so everyone's hearing this. Like, hey, wait a minute. I thought he was a man of the people, but now suddenly we're just sheep to him.
Yeah, maybe I need to read it again and do a few more like reads of either this or watch this, of course, to see what Joe Kelly is like trying to say here. What is the, by acting like a villain and or like acting like an unhinged, unfettered person, excuse me, what is the point in all of this?
Yeah, and it was much more present in the book, but there was almost an element of like a power fantasy in it of like, okay, let me put up an image of the people that I think are the worst of humanity, and then let me use Superman just to beat them down and show them what, you know, show them that we're stronger than them. And I didn't really care for that in the book. It's lesser here. I feel like just the way they play it. But it still just doesn't feel quite right for Superman. And look at him. He's like deranged. I know it's all an act, but it just feels a bit weird.
I guess I'll say, you know, speaking out of terms, of course, this is like awesomely animated.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Oh boy, the animators are doing such a good job with this. Like, this gets my stamp of approval for like animation services. But once again, it just goes back to me trying to figure out what Joe Kelly is trying to say.
Yeah, and I think they did a better job in this as compared to the book of demonstrating the real danger of the elite. There was something in the book, it felt more like Superman was like, he felt threatened by his, oh no, they're kind of replacing me and they're doing it with tactics I don't think is right.
Am I obsolete?
Yeah, am I obsolete? This one, it more becomes Superman recognizes that these are a genuine danger in terms of changing what the public's morality is going to be overall. Like they're creating a really dangerous fervor among people. And, you know, he needs to stop that before it creates some really dangerous politics going forward. Like, it's almost like these guys could spurn on a whole fascist movement with, hey, maybe what Alan Moore was always talking about, Superman's promoting fascism, or whatever he said about that.
Was it, was it Superman, or was it, or it's not Superman, was it Alan Moore, or was it, what's his name, Frank Miller?
No, it's Alan Moore. Okay. I remember he's coming out. Cause something about how, yeah, like superhero movies are like Watchmen, like, except not with the commentary, something like that. It's been a while. I don't want to misquote him.
Of course.
I think I already mangled his opinion whenever we talked about it last. I felt bad afterwards.
Yeah, paraphrasing, and we don't have the whole quote there itself. Yeah, it's no World of Cardboard speech. We'll get to that one day, which is a lot different, but. Maybe it's like that talking head who said, like, might makes right.
Again, that's what's uncomfortable is because Superman's, like, in a way, you know, he's using similar tactics. Just he thinks that he has the moral authority and that he's doing what's right for everyone. Like I mentioned, would he step in and stop a war if he disagreed with it? Like, where's the line for his abuses of power? Or what is the limit of his power?
Not so much like powers, but like his code of conduct.
Yeah, social power, social influence. Because that's what he's kind of trying to do here is, again, this isn't just a message to Manchester Black. This is a message to all of his followers and all the population. That's why I keep seeing all of them. It's like, yeah, he's kind of, it's something disturbing about it. And he like destroyed the city too, in a way. I know it was mainly but he knew he set up this whole fight to be kind of a big demonstration for everyone. And we do see that the damage is less than it actually looks like. You know, they were protecting the people and stuff like that. So he was making sure that no one was getting hurt, but I mean, this is still a lot of collateral damage going on.
And then there's the other part to this, which was added. Which is like, what happened to the other three? Well, they're, you know, now inside the Fortress of Solitude because, you know, my robots came and, you know, helped clean them up. And we're currently, like, removing them of their powers.
Oh, maybe I missed that bit. Did he really say that? I thought he
Yeah, he says it, like, right now.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's fucked up.
That's almost like Krypton from Superman 2 or 1, excuse me, like imprisoning people inside the Phantom Zone. That's, yeah, I have a, I don't know, like, I feel a little bit unsure myself towards this end where I'm like, I feel like I'm not fully, I need to watch this again to understand. If anything, this is the best, like I definitely would come back to this film again.
Yeah.
Because for an adaptation standpoint, this is like, it exceeds the book, you know, the book it's based off of. So I can finally say, like, I'd watch this over reading the comic. But at the same time, I definitely need, like, I'm not saying I dislike Joe Kelly or anything like that. No. This is where, like, people cheer and whatnot. I'm like, why are these people cheering?
Yes.
Like, this is. I don't know.
It's a little bit disturbing. There's something about it. It's almost like, yeah, we love to see displays of physical power and abuse against the people we think are enemies. Oh, now we've turned our dislike to Manchester Black. Yeah, we want to see Superman just pound the hell out of him. Yeah, there's something ugly about just the view of humanity here. And it's, I think it's a true view. I think a lot of people really are like this.
I mean, maybe that's the point. Like, Joe Kelly is putting up a reflection saying, like, this is what humanity is, where they're perfectly fine with seeing the big might making right.
Yes, but that's what makes it disturbing, that Superman gives into it and feeds into their dark impulses. And he's almost like, okay, you know, I'm scared because these humans they're so easily convinced to go to their brutal ways by Manchester Black. I need to make a lesson out of him and show them that if they go down that road, I'll be there to crush him. So I need to make a big public spectacle of crushing Manchester Black. It's like, ooh.
maybe again, Kelly is going back to the roots of, you know, Superman in 38. Where he wasn't exactly, you know, the, I'm going to say nicest guy, but he was, you know, he was the Ubermensch. He had no problem with, you know, like the, what is the first image of Superman we see? Obviously, okay, there's the beginning, obviously the pages, of course. But what's the first thing we see? He takes a car and he smashes it. So it's like, maybe we are seeing Joe Kelly actually, you know, going back to the roots of Superman being a pretty much, you know, a Jewish superhero, you know, there to stop. I mean, he's not always obviously directly attacking the Nazis. I know there were issues like that, but you know, he's there to, like, you know, fight for the common man or something like that, or like, you know, heads will roll with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess in a way that book, I mean, they could have made a more overt, you know, like a skinhead type, but there was a certain vibe to the Manchester Black in that book that had that, you know, like subtle white supremacist, you know, violent in his own way, a terrorist type of guy to him, you know, like that Manchester Black in the book was, he did not seem like he'd be anyone that I'd want to know. A scary dude.
Definitely so. The ugly version of a punk rather than like the fun version of a punk. Whereas this one, he looks like a rocker. Like he's a punk rock guy.
Yeah, and skinheads are in that. Yeah, they're like the mangled and perverted version of punks. They have that similar side to them. And there was a lot of Europunk movement that was very much, yeah, very strongly white supremacist.
It's not that there aren't punks who are racist, but not all punks are racist, and not all racists are punks.
Yes. So yeah, I did feel like in the book maybe they're feeding into some of that with Manchester Black.
Certainly, and yeah, maybe Manchester Black was also like a riff on Mark Millar. I have no idea.
Oh,
I don't know. Again, I'm only going, so I feel like I'm just like put an egg in my face again for being very ignorant and misinformed, and not having all my facts checked out. So I'll admit I probably am a bit compromised in this, but at the end of the day, I guess I'll still give it a feeling it, because at least it made me think. At least it made me like discuss these things with you, which was nice. I definitely liked talking about this film the whole time. There were some moral quandaries that we had to question ourselves, and I'm like, yeah, I can accept that. I can live with those questions, because at least it means I have to come back and actually, you know, engage in these hard questions.
Yeah, I would give a recommend to both. I think that they're both quite interesting. And in terms of what we covered so far in the Superman series, I think this is some of the, probably the most complex of the stuff we've seen so far. The most, like I feel myself, like after one reading of the comic, one viewing of the film, yeah, I don't really know if I'm prepared to, or qualified to really get into all the details of what they're talking about here. Like, I feel like I'm still missing some details as well.
Certainly.
So yeah, this is some more challenging stuff, and I think that both of them are good. I agree with you. I think the movie's actually more well-rounded and, yeah, probably better experience. I think out of the adaptations that we've seen, I think the one I like the most still is Crisis on Two Earth versus Earth 2. But I like that this one still proved to be quality, even though it was straight closer to the book. They just expanded out, whereas Earth 2... in Crisis on Two Earths, they just kind of took the basic concept and did their own thing with it. So yeah, two quality examples. You know, we're seeing some good stuff here. This ain't bad.
Yeah, what this film doesn't do is make me feel stupid in the end. It definitely is, I guess, what I've wanted from Superman for a long time, which is, you know, some compelling storytelling. And
yeah,
I think this is what I want, where it is like this morality tale almost. And yeah, maybe you don't agree with it by the end, but it at least is there to, you know, question one's morals.
Yeah.
and even Superman's himself. So I can, that's, I'll align myself with this one because of how much of a compromise it may be and how complicated it may be for me to either like this film or at least, sorry, like its message.
Yeah. Yeah, they paint a very disturbing picture of the ways humans can be influenced by the different, you know, not just their environment, but who they look up to as heroes. And I think that's an important message to put out there.
And what,
and a true one.
And what we also ourselves, of course, see as heroes.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah, a positive stop on this this journey through our Superman retrospective. And I think we've had some interesting ones so far. And I'm curious to see what comes next for us. I believe we're doing Brainiac next by Geoff Johns, his Brainiac run.
Oh, is that also the, is that lead into Superman Unbound?
Yes, I believe Superman Unbound.
Oh, boy. Okay, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, let me quickly look up exactly what that run is called. Because in my notes, it just says Brainiac by Geoff Johns. So I don't know if that's exact or...
What? Yeah, what year is that? Is that technically New 52? Don't worry, just verify
no. first. Yeah, this is 2008.
Oh, wow. What the hey? Why did it take that long? Holy smokes. Fair enough. I don't know the reason why. Because it's just that Unbound was in 2013 and it was stuck... I think Unbound is before Flashpoint, and then Flashpoint comes out, and then comes New 52 stuff.
Yeah, and this one is a standalone. So, yeah, there is one of the Superman films that I took off this list because I realized it was actually part of another DC animated series called The Tomorrowverse.
Can forget about that. We're not like I have no interest in doing that one now.
Yeah, so I took that off our list. That was Superman, The Man of Tomorrow, I believe. So we will get to that one day, I'm sure. But yeah, not anytime soon.
Not anytime soon. Jinx.
Yeah. But yeah, no, there we go. So thank you, Isaac, again for joining me for some more Superman stuff. You've been pushing to get to this stuff a little bit more quickly than I've been, and I'm glad for it. So.
Yeah, we end this one off. Both in agreement and also in disagreement with some things, but it's still very weird. It's a contradiction. It's a dilemma. It's a paradox, but I like it.
Yeah, me too. And join us again soon for Superman Brainiac. And would you like to take us out?
To those listening, I guess I ask, are you with the traditional... I guess like, you know, 80s or 90s version of Superman who doesn't kill, or are you with the elites? I guess this movie will definitely reveal the person's true character and who they are, if that is the case. But again, keep reading comics, and till next time, peace.